Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
One, two, three, clap. Okay, great.
Beautiful.
And we are good to go.
I was worried about my rhythm because it's such, with two gay guys, I can't compute. my clap was a little off. I could tell George you were being sweet. We did it a third time. We were supposed to do it twice, but I know we did it a third time and I counted my clapping rhythm. But I'm just like, you know when a clap starts like in a song or a cheer or like, you know, I'm always like trying to get the beat.
Yeah.
And I simply cannot, but the gays are like they're like in sync, like they make the whole choir, like the whole thing is just, now it's like a symphony, it's this thing. And I'm just like, Dyke, shut, just don't clap. Like, we can't clap. We don't have it. It is what it is.
I have to say, with finding the beat, it's always something I feel I can do when I'm on my own listening to music. Maybe I'm a little drunk and got home and I'm doing a little dance before bed.
Yeah.
But then when I'm in public, I completely lose it.
Yeah. No, it's, well, maybe you think you completely, but have you been around some dykes recently? You'll see how much more together you are in relation to the clunkiness and the sharp edginess. There's no suave, like, there's no smooth. There's nothing is smooth. I clunk into a room. I don't know why. I'm not even I'm not in boots. Like, there's no reason. I can't explain.
I'm trying to find that flow. I'm trying to find like counterexamples.
Well, I feel poorly, like, not to be gross immediately, I guess the podcast has already started, but lesbian sex, I feel like, is like water,
everyone's
flowing, beautiful, and like whereas gay men having sex is like,
it's like, just like,
and so that's when I feel like lesbians are not clunky, when they're in their natural state of having sex.
But we're we're never
watch
having
blue
sex.
Is the warmest color once.
Yeah, exactly. We also don't have sex, and my ex used to get upset that I said that, but I'm like, we kind of do just roll around. Like, it isn't a fair comparison because it's like, you're coming, I'm coming. I'm happy with what's happening, but to call it sex is a bit of a stretch. Mm-hmm. Most of the time. Now, there are things that we do that are intercourse, fine. But I'm like, I'm also happy to hook up. Like, it's not like it's bad that we don't fuck, but we don't fuck the same way other people fuck. It's fine. But lesbians are like, I fuck. I'm like, you don't. Like, you don't, dude. Well, like,
but there's more in your repertoire. So it's like, you are doing... Also, am I wrong to say that it usually lasts longer?
I mean, it can, but at this age, it's like, how many times do you want to go? I'm like, I have a thing. I got right. this podcast with these guys. It's like, I'm happy
yeah.
to
yeah, what else do you have going on?
I'm happy to bring back the quickie. Like, we deserve the quickie. Oh, like, well, it's, you know. Quickie.
That's true.
There's nothing like it. There's nothing like being like, we have literally 7 minutes.
Yeah. Let's,
yeah,
like, we 30 seconds of sex is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we, the quickie, like 7 minutes, it's like, we don't even have time to hold hands. As
right.
Like, there is not even the time for that. It's a blip. Like, you'll start having sex with a girl and then it's like, it's 2 p.m. I'm like, fiddly like, what?
I'm late for work, god damn it.
Like, what? We started, like, yeah, so crazy. Is there, by the way, I realize we're on a podcast right now. Is sure. there an intro yeah. that I didn't do, that we didn't do, that you said?
No,
that was
we normally,
topic?
Sam and I normally start by doing an intro and then we introduce you. But the conversation was flowing so naturally that we said, why not just go yeah. with it? What
but
do you
I
think,
don't wanna, Sam? I don't want to stop you. I'd love an intro. Sure. You know, I don't want to break what you do. On my account, do anything you didn't want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's too late for that. We completely revamped our entire podcast entirely on your account.
This is now a new spin-off podcast where you're the co-host. So I hope you're available for to record
okay,
the next
I'm
episode.
Not even here. I'm not even here. Okay, I'll be like...
We can honestly...
I'm not even
it,
here.
It is iconic to now start our intro. I am including everything.
No,
that was
all
just
of this is in. And it's in this order, too. Starting. Yeah.
So, Sam, what's up?
Hola, chica. How are you?
Hey, bitch. You know, I'm good. I have to say, I was saying this before. I am feeling like this is... I'm feeling relaxed and chill. I'm feeling... My voice is syrupy.
It's very... You're giving NPR vibes this
NPR,
afternoon.
Yeah. It's because I spent yesterday in nature. And it was just so... I went to... Storm King with two of my college friends, which Storm King is kind of where straight couples go to break up,
right?
I feel. But then you can kind of queer it by going there. It is not part of a straight couple. I went with two women. One was queer and one was straight.
For now.
Which is such a powerful combination. Yeah. And I have to say, the art, so uninspiring.
Yeah, well, that's
nothing,
not the
it
point.
It gives you nothing to think about. It's just you're taking a hike, and every now and then you see kind of a large red structure, and you're just kind of like, huh.
I think that's the whole appeal, though, right? It's like you're not really going for, like, the art, and you're not really going for, like, the hike. You're going for, like, a walk that's outside.
Yes.
And, like...
No one is there to be challenged.
Yeah. It's not
Where
physically
is this?
Difficult.
Oh, am I not allowed to be part... Like, okay, I'm not
oh
even here.
Oh, my God.
I'm not even here.
Robbie.
I'm actually just curious. I haven't been introduced yet, so I'll just be this other... Like, I'm not yet on the podcast, but I did have a... Where is it?
Robbie, our producers are texting me where everyone says, tell her to stop.
I know.
They're
silent
so
women.
Furious.
Silence women.
Silence women.
Here we are.
One of
Here
the tenets are. Of this podcast is silence women.
Yes.
But then I have to say, to take the... Basically, you're taking a hike without the... athletic element, and then you're going to a museum without the intellectual element.
Yeah.
So you truly are just like, how can I feel as little as possible while being slightly relaxed?
In many ways, it's the best of both worlds.
Yes, and if you want to not, like I said, to not be challenged, which I really was not in the mood to be challenged yesterday.
Sometimes when I go to a museum, it's not, it's truly just to be in an indoor large space
yes.
that is mostly clean. Like, I just want to be in a space. And that's kind of what Storm King offers, but it's outdoors.
Yes, 100%.
I don't think I've ever been challenged by fine art.
Okay. What a statement to begin with.
Wow. In Wait. Or outside of the museum.
Robbie, what would you say was the moment in your life where you felt the most artistically challenged?
The most artistically challenged.
Or intellectually challenged. Other than
I'm still waiting for it. I'm still waiting for it, to be honest with you.
Wow.
I don't know that I've been, you know, I challenge myself for the most part. So,
sure.
you know, mm-hmm. I don't know that is something, you know, if you're talking about like an incident or something in my career, like when I did a Just for Laughs stand-up special. I did an hour filmed in Toronto for Crave TV here in Canada. And before doing that, you know, when they called me just after Gethard, they said, hey, would you be interested in doing a streaming special, an hour stand-up special? And I said, yeah, but I had never done an hour.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And I had 6 weeks to prepare. And the first time I did an hour was my taped hour.
Whoa. So your answer is to what, when was the...
So that was a challenge. I'm saying that sure. was a, that was
you have been intellectually challenged by your own,
by your own work.
I, did, you know, I don't look at a piece of metal in a park and go, huh? Yeah. What? I don't give a shit. I don't, like, it doesn't... Even as a kid, we would go... I remember going to the museum. We saw Monet and we had like a little picture that you, like, the museum had a little thing where they give you a little piece of paper, and it was the most perfect piece of paper. I can't explain when these little crafts happened at the museum. It was like, it was such a, the texture of the paper was just, I'm still waiting for the weight of a paper like that. I've either had too much, too little. This was like the Goldilocks and the Three Bears of papers.
So this anyway, is a paper they gave to you at a museum to kind of take notes.
No, to then you were going to sit in front of a painting you like and draw it.
Oh, draw it.
Oh,
okay. And you had, so... you know, and I remember sitting in front of a Monet and I kind of thought it was blurry and, you know, there wasn't a lot, like they were like, sit in front of your favorite one. So I'm like, okay, of all the paintings in this place, like, first of all, I don't love any single one. If I had to pick, okay, I'll go with this one, but it's blurry. It's impressionism. I don't care for blurry. I wear glasses already. I'm like,
you kept putting on your glasses and said, it's not getting any less blurry.
Yeah. I don't want blurry like Claire. I'm like, let me see what the lily pads look like. Like what
the
hell
good money for
here?
These glasses. I want to see the art.
Yeah. So I think from that, from being told from a young age that the best art is in this thing.
Sure.
I like, and then you go and you're like, I like some of the books at home better, some of the pictures, the illustrations in my books at home. You know, when you're a kid, you're like, I liked Robert Munsch or whatever, like whatever the kids, you know, some of the illustrations, kids books, I think is some of the best art arguably in the world. Why not? Who cares? But we don't.
Okay. Very populist approach. I love
that. I'm just saying that like, it didn't make sense to me what was great, what was not. And obviously it's all subjective and that's the point of it. But I do wish I could be. I feel like it would be so fun to feel like I looked at a piece of metal and I went, huh. Like you know, sometimes.
But you're not able to access that.
No. If I look at a very crazy building, like a very, you know, ergonomic or something like really that looks like the physics is being challenged, then I go, wow, how'd they do that? There must be
a woman in STEM.
There must be a beam or something here. You know, that's the only way I can imagine right now looking at something and feeling a challenge is like, how is that standing?
Definitely.
Type challenge, but it's very hard for me. I wish I could be those people in movies like Closer, anybody in Manhattan going to a museum and just going, oh, what do you think the artist? And I'm like, you know, your guess is as good as my, it doesn't, I don't really sit with it. And then I get hungry at the museum and there's no food. You're starving.
Well, you got to go to the museum cafe.
You get a bowl of olives for 14 USD. Exactly. Thanks, but no thanks.
We are being completely insane and absurd. We have not introduced our guest.
Oh, I'm not even here.
Our guest is not even here. And yet you hear her talking. And yet
the entire Western art canon has been completely dragged through the mud.
I am not even here. Forgive me.
Intellectualism has been destroyed and we have not even introduced our guest. I mean, I think we should just do it.
You know, here's like someone who intellectually challenges me. Let me tell you something. Please put your ears to the ground and feel the vibrations of the footsteps of our guest, Robbie Hoffman.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome from Canada.
Yeah, waiting all day to be, you know, on this podcast. It feels good to finally be here and talking to you guys.
We really went, I have to say, Robbie, like normally, you know, we would kind of like see what the vibe was, see what topics you had in mind, and then start recording. But you were so on from the first second, and we said there is no point in stopping this momentum. This is a once in a lifetime
experience.
You know, for rhythm. You. Yeah. For me, for every day. I just talk and talk and talk and talk. I I don't even know. Sometimes I think, like, you know what? When I was younger and I was closeted and I would go out with guys.
Like, yeah.
I went out with, shout out to Phil Dobrin. If he's listening, he went to Princeton. That's not nothing. But I went out with this guy and like my friends would encourage me. They're like, his whole family goes to Princeton. And I didn't even know Jews went to Princeton, but God bless him.
Yeah. And haven't you met Catherine Cohen?
No. Sorry, no, yeah, she did go to Princeton. No, I then realized I didn't, it wasn't even in my like ether, like as I, like these just are not as a teenager, wasn't a school. I even really, I only heard of it because Phil was going there. And so I assumed it was good. But anyway, I remember having to do one-on-one with him. And I would try and think of like topics. I would tell my friends, but like, what do you even speak about? Like, just because I was so uncomfortable being one-on-one with this like pressure that we would maybe hook up or kiss or do something, that I would like literally think of topics. And then the first time I was with a girl romantically, it's like, it just flowed and flowed and flowed. And now I like have never had to think of a topic in my whole life. I just like, if I'm up, there's a topic. If I'm up, where there's something happening.
Well, Robbie, we really pride ourselves on, you know, deconstructing what a podcast is. Nice. Sort of. It's a, this podcast is about straight culture, it's but it's also a podcast about a podcast about straight culture.
I love
and
that.
The whole thing is like, it's like, you know, we you think of this idea, okay, what's kind of like, imagine two gay comedians having a podcast about straight culture. It's like, okay, 2014 called wants its entire ethos back, you know?
Right.
And so we're doing that, sure, because it's expected, but then that's not enough, right? So we're at every turn holding a mirror to ourselves and kind of looking at it and then getting distracted.
Yeah, and so you're coming in here and sort of showing us that we're not pushing far enough. If we're really deconstructing what a podcast is, you know, let's switch up the order. Start with just chatting, you know, then try the intro. Then who the hell knows? I mean, we are flying completely by the seat of our pants today in a way that I find refreshing.
I find it exciting. It's all the intellectual rigor I was missing at Storm King is now finally on the table.
Well, see, because I also think that like I hate being told you look at this thing, you must think now. I'm like, I've been thinking the whole fucking day. Like Where the hell were you? Like, this is like the least important thought I'm having my day of how I'm incorporating this piece of metal. Like, you don't even know what I've been through by 2 weeks. You have no idea what it's like to be a date in my head for what.
Right.
Like, and like, people are just like, wow, that really made me think. Like, I don't even separate thinking from not from other things. It's like, everything is making me think. I'm constantly thinking. I just, but being told, like, you know, like your walk, I can understand why it's so dissatisfying. You're kind of like, you were told you're going to be seeing some shit and you're going to have an opinion, but you didn't even, you were like, well, like, I guess if you're, you know, gun, you know, like, I guess, okay, I like the color of the metal. Somebody had to paint it red. You know, I picture about the guy who gets up there. I'm like, was he at Lowe's? Where did he get the paint? Like, my thoughts are also not intellectual enough for the ask. Like, the ask of looking at an art piece, like something like that, is like, you should have this, like, really grand origin story or how the artist was feeling a connection. And mine is like, do you think it's like the oil paint or he went to Lowe's and got an outdoor paint because he knew it'd be outdoors?
Right. Or you're thinking, you know, was he fairly compensated? Was what, you know, the artist whose name is on this, how much did he or she do? And how much of it was kind of unpaid interns with little paintbrushes?
Right.
And who's to say that's a less intellectual question than does it resemble a frog?
I just want each piece to have a big price tag on it. And so I can see the most expensive one and go, I can tell why that's expensive. I can tell that one's really expensive.
Yeah,
you're so right. The fact that like the art world is based on, I mean, it's essentially kind of an extension of the global finance world because it's a way people like you know avoid taxes,
hoard money.
So it's it's a way people hoard money. No one actually cares. No one actually has an eye for art of the people that are actually buying the art. It's literally all like kind of men named. I don't know why my instinct went to say Rob, because then you're implicated because your name is Robbie.
By the way, I happen to be a fine artist.
But that's not what I meant. A man named Rob.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Anyway, my point is, it's like, if it's all about money anyway, just make the subtext text. Just tell me how much each thing is worth.
Well, that's it.
Yes.
You know what? That's like, that is for me. And I think maybe because we're both gay comics and this is the way that we do, but we're like very honest about that sort of stuff. It's like, I grew up when I was in the secular world, like most of my friends growing up as a teenager and the world now, it's like the girl I'm seeing now and her family, like they don't talk about money. They don't talk about politics. And I grew up, we talk about money. We talk about politics. That's all we talk about. And I think one of the bigger issues happening is that like this 1% who's hoarding wealth in multiple ways, mm-hmm. you know, one being the art world or, you know, whatever they're doing offshore, but they also hoard the conversation. They also try and make 99% of the people feel like you shouldn't talk about money because they don't want to talk about money because of how immoral they would sound talking about how embarrassing it must be for them to talk about money versus me. We have to talk about money. We talk about money. It's like something I tell like my girl when you're about to meet my family. I said like, you know, my ex was working in commercials. I said, by the way, my brother Shmuley's going to come up. He's going to be like, how much you make on something like that, a commercial? Now, he's not being rude. He is relating to, he wants to know. And the easiest way to get rid of him is just to say, what you know, 8K. And he'd be like, okay, pretty good. He'd walk away. If you skirt, I actually had a very famous conversation. I don't mind doing this, but this really famous movie star and I were talking.
Drop the name.
And
drop the address.
It is what it is.
Scarlett Johansson.
And we were talking about this. And I said, like, if you know, there was a possibility that this person might end up at a family function of mine. I said, if that ever happened, you would just have to tell my brother. He's not going to know who the hell you are. And he's going to want to know what you make on a movie like Charlie's Angels. He's going to be like, hey, so what does that run you? And if you skirt and say, oh, I do okay, or, you know, I'm comfortable, he's going to be like, what do you mean? What is it? And then, so you just have to be like 20 million. He'd be like, oh.
So is Kristen Stewart.
You know, and then, he would walk away. You know what I mean? But there's no skirting. But I realize it's this thing that people do to keep the masses down. It makes no fucking sense.
Well, it's an admission of guilt already, because if you say talking about money is not tasteful, you are literally agreeing. You're like, yes, if I say how much I make, that is tasteless.
Yeah.
Like, because my entire lifestyle is immoral.
Yeah, it's all hoarding and immoral and weird. And yeah, that's why you don't talk about it. You don't talk about politics because you don't have to. You don't talk about money because you don't have to. And the thing is you might not be talking about it, but you show it. You talk louder than anybody else in the damn world about it.
Well, you hint at it. It's like, that's the thing with money. It's like, if you're kind of one of those people, like, the way that you achieve taste is by essentially hinting at the money you have without explicitly saying.
That's why, like, I love rap. It's like, yes. I love watching rappers going, I got this, I got the ice, I got this. I'm like, yes, you do. Yes, how much was the Lambo? $250? That's what I thought. That's what I thought. You know, I want to know. You know, I was having this conversation with another friend of mine recently, not famous. Okay. And that famous person wasn't even
my
friend.
Can you drop the not famous?
By the way, my friend Sophie, that we just ended up in that conversation somehow with, you know, whatever. But this person, wealthy, not famous, does well for herself, her family, very wealthy. And she's very humble about it. You know, she was asking me like, oh, what's your dream car, Robbie? Like, what, you know, because I like cars. I said, well, Porsche, obviously. How do you dream of something and it not be the best? I don't understand that.
Right.
I don't understand how anybody ends up with something like a Maserati. Or I'm like, okay. Okay, weirdo. What, do you have a MasterCard too? So strange to me. Anybody ends up with a MasterCard or a Maserati. Like, it's Visa, it's Porsche. Like, there are some truths.
Yeah.
So she didn't want to tell me that her father has a Porsche or two or something like that. Her girlfriend told me when she was in the bathroom. By the way, she's very humble. And I assumed that her father had at least a fleet of something. But I told her when she got back to the bathroom, I said, it feels more honest to me when rich people are rich and poor people are poor. What I'm saying by this is, if I went to your house, if I showed up at your house, your parents' house for Shabbos for dinner, and they didn't have four cars in the driveway, I'd call the police. I know you shouldn't anymore, but that would be a reason for me. That would be a reason for me. If you came to my mother's fakakta apartment and she had a Maserati in the drive. You fucking call what? This doesn't make, you know, I want the world to make sense. That if you're yes. rich, okay, that's you
what,
are.
That's what it comes down to is things need sense. To be, things need to be placed where they belong so that we can yes. kind of, so that you can look at the world and then interpret it in a literal way and have it make sense rather than having to go through like five layers of interpretation based on each person's weird insecurities or, you know, kind of like the way they want to be, the way they want to be seen versus how they actually are.
The mental gymnastics of it all.
But that would require kind of an honesty that I feel like the current systems in place do not encourage.
I just, this convo, we really haven't brought out the going off alarm in a while. But yes.
this is convo this going is... off alarm?
We haven't brought out the going off alarm in so long. But Robbie, honestly,
this
now
whole
is a good
episode
time
is
as
going
any.
Off alarm. It is ringing in the background. We'll add that in post.
Well, we're editing in post. But wait, I'm sorry. I do want to very quickly go back to the art conversation because Robbie, you raised an interesting point, which is that you think all day, so you're not going to wait to be inspired by something. And that, which is interesting because it does, then it's like, it kind of implies that the people that are inspired most by art are the people who spend most of the day not thinking. And so then they're so in awe that something is making them think that they start tearing up.
Yeah, it's, I don't know how, I wish I could live that life. I mean, I wish I could like, or simply, I wish I could turn off. I wish I don't have to think so much. I wish I could not want the things I want. I wish I was okay. You know, I wish probably I was less intelligent than we are because right. I think being an artist takes some level of intelligence, some level of guts to say like all these structures put upon me, like I still feel at my soul, like that's the thing living for, like, we do this thing where we break free of something to some extent.
Does this apply to like film and TV also? Like, or is it just like visual art, like paintings and sculptures or like how
it applies
much
to me
this-
for all of it? I mean, I think visual art, like the people who are like hoity-toity and go to like the museum, because it's like, I think there's a special category for those people somewhere, maybe not hell, but somewhere. And you know, I do think that, like, I can't remember. I was going to say something else in one of my going off rants, but the idea of like having, you know, I just wish I could be simpler. Like I was on a flight and the lady next to me was sipping her Chardonnay, middle-aged, wonderful woman. Okay, she is having a time. There's no kids, there's nothing. She's watching
a queen,
Mall
an
Cop.
Icon, a legend.
Yeah, Mall Cop, exactly. Jan Arden. No, she is Katie Ling. No, she's just, you know, sitting on the plane. She's watching Mall Cop 2.
Paul Blart.
Okay.
Paul Blart, you should know, this is interesting to bring up. I'm a huge fan of Kevin James. Keep going.
Oh, same.
Sam wants to fuck Kevin James.
I think he's so hot.
Yeah, I'm sure he get, like, yeah, he's the cutest. I loved King of Queens. I still think it's, like, one of the best sitcoms. My family, like, strangely, like, everybody's like, oh, family.
If anyone's
like,
keeping track,
watch
she
King
hates fine art and she loves King of Queens.
King of Queens was excellent. Excellent. Leia Remini. Excuse me.
Lovely. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Go back to this.
Kevin
queen,
James. So anyway, she's watching Mall Cop 2. I kid you not. Every setup, she was already like, every setup to every joke, she was like already like, she like could barely take it. And then when they hit with whatever punchline, whether it was a line or a pratfall, literally, she was like dying, her Chardonnay splashing everywhere. Like she literally enjoyed thoroughly this movie start to finish. And I should only be so lucky. Do you know what it even takes me to watch a movie?
Yeah.
To the point that like I am like searching the entire flight and maybe I find a documentary of Inside the Worst Prisons of America and I'm fine. But it's like very difficult for me to get to that level of interest, let alone laughter, the way that she can watch anything. This wasn't even Mall Cop 1, which I'm sure she also saw. But like this lady has figured it out. Like, with like she is enjoying the best life. The more you know, the worse it is to enjoy life because you just know too much. You're too in tune to the truth. So I do wish that I could like be more naive to certain things so that I can just enjoy.
Yeah, more. I'm trying to put in the work to become less informed. I think that's a real goal of mine.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I don't watch people like, did you watch the debate? I'm like, am I masochistic? Are you asking me if I cut myself? Like, I what mean, is the question here? It's so weird.
It's so stupid. Why would you, like, I already fucking voted. Like, I'm not watching this debate just to feel bad and get pissed off. I'm already mad. Who cares?
Well, there is, I think that the kind of, the idea of the political junkie as a figure in our culture, like, these are people that want to feel bad.
Yeah.
Like they get off on feeling bad. That's like the people whose thing is that they keep up with the news. Like, I think it's important to keep up with the news, but like specifically keep up with like the minutiae of electoral politics. It is people who literally are seeking both to feel angry and slighted and also to feel like they, it's like a sense of control. Like if I know all the details and if I know the name of every person that is involved in this decision, then it'll somehow make me more enlightened. When it actually doesn't.
What you're describing right now is sports. You come to understand why people have this affinity for sports. And I thought sports always was so stupid. It's just two people going to a ball to get it here or to get it there. But really people who are very into sports are into every little character. It really is a soap opera for them. They know the backstory of this person was from here. He was drafted here. He comes from this family, nothing. Nobody believed in him. Da, da, da. They're literally like gays. Like you think like, oh, we're gay. You like soap operas. You like soap operas too. Your sports is like, you're literally screaming from what's his name? Tom Brady. I don't even know their names.
Yeah. But
like you are doing the exact same thing. Sports is now
I would be remiss not to say, I'd be remiss not to say Guy Branum has a bit exactly about this that he does, where he's talking about how reality, like Real Housewives, are just emotionally and kind of structurally the same as sports.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
just like looked down it. Upon. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He would, I think everything is just kind of in that structure, especially politics right now and the way it's set up. Like, first of all, it's such bad art. Like to watch a debate, it's a play. So everything's scripted.
And it's a bad play.
It's a bad play. Yeah. It's like also like they're not having the best people. Like we didn't even get off. We didn't shoot for off-Broadway people even to produce this. It's like now it's just like a bad, weird play. Like people kind of know their lines and it's not a good set. And
it's a dress rehearsal. And the director is absent.
Yeah, it's just like, why would I watch that? Plus, I do Dyke Vice on Thursdays and it was competing. Our numbers did not dip, you'll be happy to know.
I love a plug. Everybody love check out Dyke Vice.
PlanetScum.live, my weekly call-in show. You can call me in about anything. What shoes to wear where, I'll tell you. You can call me about financial advice. Let me look at a statement. I'll tell you where you're going wrong. Call me about love. Whatever you want. I'm going to tell you what your therapist won't and will fix you a lot quicker, believe me.
Oh, God, I could go therapy. We need to do wait, Robbie, we need to do our first segment, but I do want to talk to you about therapy.
Okay. So, Robbie, our first segment, and yes, this podcast has segments, if you can believe it. it's called Straight Shooters because this podcast is about straight culture, sort of. And so, to sort of start it off with our first segment, we just sort of ask you a series of rapid fire questions to gauge your familiarity with the tapestry of straight culture. And if you ask any follow-up questions, we're going to be pissed off. Okay, George, should we start?
Yes. Robbie, AirPods or Air Jordans?
Air Jordans.
Okay. Robbie, starting a TikTok out of a desperate need for attention or starting a podcast out of a desperate need for attention?
TikTok.
Anxiety or depression?
Anxiety. I don't know who I'm doing what I like the most.
Just you.
That's perfect.
You're doing great.
Being a dog person, being a cat person, or being a people person?
It depends on the person, cat or dog. I need to meet and see if I have a rapport with everything I don't like. I like some people. I don't, I'm a people person, yes, but there's some people I don't like. I got to meet your dog. If we have a rapport, and then we'll go. There's a cat. I love my cat. It doesn't mean I like your scratchy ass cat. Do I have a relationship with this person or animal? I'm very case by case.
Okay.
Okay. Robbie, upholding the status quo or updating your status on Facebook?
It's too many words. That was a word salad. Definitely not the status quo. Fuck that.
Okay, great.
Okay, Robbie. Prada, Gucci, Fendi, or Billabong?
Prada, Gucci. Prada and Billabong.
All right, and you know what? I think we can ended here. What do you think, Sam? Do you have another one?
Well, no, not really. Sort of.
Are you sure?
Okay.
Go for it.
This one's a little bit different than the form. Robbie, how many Borats do you think we'll see in our lifetime?
I have not seen Borat yet, but I gotta go. I gotta watch one of them.
You haven't seen the first one?
I've never seen Borat, but I love it. I've seen clips, you know what I mean? And I feel like I love it, but I like never have like sat down to do it, but I want to do it. Do you know what I mean? It's like one of those things, like I want to finish the morning show. Like there's a lot for me to do.
Borat is, it's like, I think I was, obviously I remember liking it when I was younger, but I don't think, or I imagine I didn't fully get like the actual political satire element when I was, you know, that young. And I do wonder if I should rewatch it now as an adult to see like what it is saying about post 9/11 America.
Yeah, I definitely.
But I don't know.
I'm gonna do it. You know, I watch a lot of Wendy Williams recently. I'm keeping it pretty light. Not a lot of there's not a lot of people not specifically following politics, and it brings me down. And I have enough weird thoughts in my head that I'm like, I would rather, you know, Wendy's a mess and a half, and I'm here for it. You know, stuff like that. But I'm gonna watch Borat.
I want to watch. I mean, I ask because I have not seen Borat 2 yet, and it came out on Friday. And you know, my boyfriend is sort of some sort of chastity play where he's not letting me watch it. You know,
my boyfriend watched it without me.
Cuck play. Okay.
Cuck play. When your boyfriend watches Borat without you, that's cuck play, and it's absolutely disgusting.
My Could you describe like, to me cuck play again? But go ahead, Sam.
Oh, well, cuck play is, it's sort of you enjoy watching your partner sleep with someone else.
Oh, my God. The gays are up to some shit.
I mean, I have to say a lot of straights are into that, too.
Cucking, I feel like, is mostly straight. Gay guys are just like, well, let's just all have sex then.
Right.
Like, if you two want to have sex and we want to have sex, like, then the four of us are having sex.
Right.
We got to get more involved. But again, sex is so loosey-goosey on my end that who's
can I tell you something? I knew this group of lesbians and when I used to live in Boston, and in fact I hung out with one of them recently. This was, I would say, three couples.
Yeah, I gotta get, you know what, I gotta get involved. I gotta reach out to the community. I'm not I realize that I don't even have like a big quit. Like, I'm friends with comedians, and I have I have friends like who are like in private equity and like friends I went to university with who are like not involved in the scene at all, but I don't have a specifically lesbian, like there's all types of lesbian dramas happen, like she's dating her, who's dating him.
Yeah,
I never have that because I always meet lesbians in the wild. I look so gay, you know, me being visibly gay, it's like girls who are gay, let you know, if they like me or they have a crush on me, they'll let me know that they're gay. And so I meet them out in the wild. I'm not on the thing. I'm not like meeting them through the circles. I just meet like one-offs. Like, oh, I'll do a thing here. And there's a one-off dyke there. Like, that's who I end up meeting. But I got to
get
involved
in the community. I got to get in the commune.
Maybe after COVID, we'll see. We'll touch base back.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, like, we hang out with a lot of gay men, George and I.
We sure do.
But it's, they're all, like, comedy gays. And
none of them
like,
are, there's no like, drama.
There's no drama, there's no hooking up, there's no, like, oops. It's like, we're all, like, respectful of each other, which kind of sucks.
It really is very, I would actually have to say, Sam, we're very lucky in that regard.
I How think so? It's the last, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just mean, like, the fact that we have somehow maintained this circle of gay male friends And with a couple of very minor exceptions, there are no like weird sexual triangles happening. People aren't like hooking up with their friends and then ruining their relationship. Everyone is having sex on their own and not bringing it into the group.
I think we can learn a lot from the gay men in comedy. I think it's the last frontier.
I disagree, but I think, I'm interested in hearing you out.
Well, I think that up until recently, we haven't, there hasn't been a hugely famous gay guy comic. You know, yes. There really hasn't been.
And there never
we
will
haven't
be.
Had our Ellen or Seinfeld or that sort of stuff for gay men. You know what I mean? It's like really there were almost no. It's still the newest group in comedy to some extent is like gay men doing comedy on a bigger level because Dykes have had it going. You know,
I mean, so many of the great comics are lesbians back from or queer women more generally. I mean, it's like it's not just Ellen. I mean, it's like Wanda Sykes and, you know, even more recently, like, you know, my own thoughts about this aside, like the biggest special last year was Nanette, which was Hannah Gatsby. Like it really is. I mean, even back to like Paula Poundstone, it really is like fascinating.
My theory is that masculinity is so promoted in every culture, yes. Right? So in straight culture, obviously men are funny. Obviously, you know, men are the thing you relate to most. Men are revered. Men are strong and masculine. In the lesbian culture, I think dykes who have more masculinity are taken more seriously than regular girls, i.e. femme girls.
And in gay male culture, that's the case.
And then in gay male culture, it's the same thing. Femininity is always the second or tier. You know, the mask gays, mask for mask, is a very promoted thing in gay men culture. And it's just like everywhere you go, there's misogyny, you know, to the extent that even in a fully male world, i.e. a gay-only world maybe, it's still, femininity is still fucking the pits. It's still not respected. It's still, you can't be funny if you're feminine. And I think I benefit from having some masculinity to my femininity that, like, that gets me a little bit more, you know, I think lesbians have a little bit more of that, even though it's such a weird mental gymnastics that we're like, you know, it's this weird thing. And then gay guys, it's like, you're choosing to have femininity. It's like almost like doubly disrespectful or it's doubly like frowned upon for some meshugas reason that maybe there was a gay guy comic, but he was masked, you know, or he was.
Well,
I know of one who, you know,
I mean, it's interesting because it's like
pretty masked.
Yeah. And also, Richard Pryor literally had sex with men and he is the most famous and best comedian.
Like, we go out of our way to say people aren't gay men. It's like you look at Prince.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't
Well, I don't know.
Guys,
I mean, women
I don't
love
know
Prince.
Nothing about Prince. But the fact that I can't say I think he's gay, it's like people take offense to that. Like, what's wrong with being gay? I'm not saying somebody says I'm straight, I don't take offense. I mean, nobody's saying it. But you know what I mean?
No, it is interesting.
It's the weirdest thing that I'm like, nah, I think he's gay. I have enough. By the way, whether he is or isn't, I have enough going. There's enough evidence for me to think he is at the very least. You know what I mean? He's wearing the heels. He's got the makeup.
I did not know this was heading to Prince is gay.
No, but it's also like people get mad at me. Like, you can't talk about Prince like that. Like what? Like he's gay? Like this?
Right. It's like you can just say that. It might be wrong, but it's not offensive.
It's not offensive. It's so weird.
Yeah. It's interesting how people are... you can't have it both ways. You can't be like, being gay is not bad, but also calling a straight person gay is offensive.
Is offensive.
It's like, do you remember when John McCain was asked, like, is Obama a Muslim? And then his answer was like, no, he's a good family man. And then everyone was like, that is so brave that he
how
said
powerful.
That.
It's how like, powerful.
Well, no, that's still actually offensive.
Yeah. It's wild. It's like, and then it's like so gaslighty. I remember I was working on a show and one of the jobs was I had to write jokes for some of the correspondents on the show. And we would have to like introduce the correspondents. And she's like, you guys introduced me. And for my introductions for one of the correspondents, I was constantly doing like a gay thing, like just bought a Subaru, has two cats, like hack dumb things. And I got pulled aside saying like, oh, you can't insinuate this person is gay, even though this person looks gay, you know, to me. I'm like, why can't I insinuate somebody's gay?
Right.
What is wrong with that?
It is interesting.
Is that bad? Are you, what are you insinuating, sir?
Yeah, it's.
I mean, I was being a shit. Here's the whole thing.
No, totally.
It's like, I'm gaslighting the gaslighter. You think you're going to gaslight me? I'm going to show you who's gaslighting who. Take a seat. I invented it, bitch.
I have to say, I have an idea for our topic, which is to have the topic just be society.
Yeah. By the way, I did come prepared. I want you guys to know. I have a topic.
Oh, what is it?
And we'll decide maybe we won't ever do the topic. Like, maybe at the end of the episode, we will finally do the topic. But I want you guys to know, I come prepared to everything just like this. You asked me for a topic about straight culture or gay culture. What was the exact request?
A topic about straight culture.
Yeah.
If you're thinking of a topic about gay culture, that's for our sister podcast, Gaydio Lab.
Okay. No, so I have it. It's like a difference between straight and gay culture is my topic. I don't know if...
Do you want to bring it up now? I feel like it's a natural
time. Yeah, and also,
time.
Did we do your segments? Or did we go...
No, we're good.
Normally, we give you a score.
We did one segment, and then we have another one right at the end that we do. Don't worry about it.
Okay,
and
my top... Yeah.
Normally, we give you a score at the end of the top or at the end of the first segment, but we did. This is a deeply deconstructed version of our podcast, and so
why
we skipped
it. Score? I think a 10. I think I nailed every fucking.
Yep, it's a 10.
10 out of 1,000 doves.
Out of 1,000. No, my topic was really just about dating, something I'm thinking about in quarantine. I have a lot of dykes coming to me getting together in quarantine.
Are you not in a relationship?
I am, but I'm saying all these quarantine relationships that are happening are like, I have some, here's something different between gay culture or specifically maybe dyke culture and straight culture for me is like, dykes don't get to date anymore. We've lost the privilege. Okay. Because we're constantly obsessed with where this is going. I have two friends who have gone on 3 or 4 dates with each other and they're constantly like, and she pursued me, but now she's the one saying she wants a little space. So what's that about? Yes, people ebb and flow. You don't have the temperament to date, do not date. Straight people date. And what they do by dating is figuring it out.
Right.
Wait a few months and be like, well, we're still figuring it out. But dykes will know, like, right away, like, but where is this? Like, you don't get to know. It's like my buddy Sean is thinking about getting married to his girlfriend of 6 years. And I almost said partner, but and what are you, gay? Anyway, so like he's been thinking, and it's so like matter of fact, and he's like, it's everybody would say, like girls would say, or Dice would say, what's the holdup? Like, why do they wait at 6 years? It's like, there's been no holdup. They've been enjoying. Like there's literally been, he's chilling. He's been good. There's been no problem. And now they're thinking of it. Like, it's just so natural. But dykes don't operate like that. And it's like, what's the alternative? Like, you just have to go on Love is Blind. You get to meet 3 people and you're married by the end of the episode.
So
if you don't have the temperament to date.
This is in praise of straight culture, something that we can all learn. Or at least
the act
something that lesbians can learn. The act of dating.
Interesting. Wow. Incredible assertion that dating is actually better for straight people. And they
not
are doing
better,
a better job at it.
They're doing it.
They're doing it.
They're
I don't know. I mean, I have to say, listen, I don't know how smoothly dating is going in the straight world. I think they are in a crossroads where the practices that were considered so socially acceptable for so long are up in the air now. And I think a combination of like, of kind of gender politics coming to a head, and also men not being sure what it means to be a masculine straight man anymore,
going
make it
alarm.
So that there's actually like more uncertainty in the straight world than in the gay world.
No, I agree. They're doing it bad. No, I think there's way more. I think men are the problem. You know, for sure in the straight world to some extent. But I think too, you know, people always ask me what went wrong in my last relationship. I'm like, it's 2 women. It's too much. It's just like, I don't know how you don't, you know, there's no yin yang.
Right.
You know, to some extent, it's like, what are we doing here? Like every few months I wake up as a lesbian. I'm like, how weird is it that I like other girls? I'm like, isn't it just weird? Like,
but imagine not being able to relate. At least you can relate to someone because you have similar experiences. Imagine if you were dating someone who was who had a different lived experience than you.
I know, it's crazy. It's
and you had to guess
that you hit it nail on the head. What's that expression?
Yeah, nail on the head. Thank you.
But it's like I was trying to convince somebody, my sister's best friend, his husband, who's this straight white dude who's successful, whatever. I was trying to convince him. Like I was in Georgia recently, and I look like this in Georgia, and so it's confusing to me, to them, and you know, he said. It was so hard to explain to him. Like we had a weird interaction in a store just because I was like in deep Georgia. I wasn't like in Atlanta, and we had a weird thing because I look like this and they don't see me like this. And then, you know, so I'm accustomed to looking different. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, this guy was like, how do you know they cared that you were gay? Like, how does he even know you're gay? And it's like, you're trying to convince somebody who's never looked or been perceived different. What it's like to have that experience. It's like, because I know. It's because if you ever had a feeling that you were different, it's at a distinct, you know it immediately. It's like love. It's like anything else. It's like you just have these, it's a feeling that you know and it's true. You know, it's undoubtedly, like you feel it as soon as it happens to you. But these people, it was hard for me to articulate. I kind of just gave up because I'm like, oh, I can't explain to this person what it's like to feel different in any way, because he'll never get to know that, like ever. It's like, maybe he'll go to, you know, I don't even know. Maybe he'll go to China or he'll go somewhere where he's different than the rest of the population. But even then there'll be a reverence more so than a different.
Yeah. I mean, there is something I find interesting is sometimes you'll see a straight person. This happens very rarely, but like a single straight man be in a gay space. Like maybe it's like a birthday party and it's mostly gay people, but one of them, it's like a girl that's friends with all the gay men and she brings her boyfriend, or it's like, it's a sibling of someone. Like, sometimes you witness this where it is a straight man who has never, ever not been comfortable, suddenly surrounded by people that are different from him. And suddenly everything the things he's wearing that are such markers of conformity, like, you know, straight boot cut pants and like sneakers or boat shoes and like a collared shirt, everything that in his entire life has helped him blend in, suddenly is making him stick out, and it's the most like disorienting thing for him, and you can just tell.
Yeah, it's so hard. And so those experiences I wish upon everybody to some extent, just for perspective. But of course, you know, not everybody can have everybody's experience, and it's all about us bridging those gaps without needing everybody to experience the other thing. Yes. It's like,
through stand-up comedy and podcasting.
Yeah, how can I not experience what you're experiencing, but still at least say, I understand, I don't know. And I still believe you. You know, it's like I was explaining to my brother-in-law, Bruno. My sister worked in tech. You know, she worked in tech sales for like 20 years. And I said, like, you know, he was unsure of misogyny to some extent. He believes in it, but he was like, how much is it really? I said, you know, sometimes it's not even a feeling. I'm like, imagine being my sister who is 5'1". And every day for 10 years, she walks into an office where most people are bigger than her. Right? Most people are men in her office, and they're all physically bigger than her. Mm-hmm. Imagine he's 6'4". I said, imagine you walked in. You never meet people taller than you, barely. But imagine you went to work every day and every person was 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
Like, but that is literally the perspective she's had.
Yeah.
Like at any point, these people could annihilate her. They could literally squash her. And that power dynamic is in bed. You know, it is. It's not only, I was trying to explain, it's not only a mental power exchange. There is a physicality that you take for granted. And it's very interesting. You know, it's just like, imagine everybody you walked in to work with was women. I was like, imagine for 10 years you were the only guy, like, and most people were women. How weird. You can't even imagine, because you're like, but that is what it's like for us. Those mm-hmm. women who went to tech jobs, those women who did those things, it's like they went in every day and mostly it was the other thing.
Mm-hmm. Back to like straight dating v gay dating.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I'm insistent. I have to say, I'll let you finish, Sam, but I really do feel like the title should be society, but go on.
I
just general society.
I think, you know how like we like cable was a thing, and then there's like one streaming service, and then there's like 1,000 streaming services, and now it's like you have to have all of them, and it's like, okay, well, now I just have cable again, but it's through this. I feel like cable is straight dating, and it's like, this is the standard. And then people are like, well, we can be queer and be different about it. And then it's like, okay, eventually like that becomes the million streaming services. And the queer dating is also just like the roles were different. And now it's like, well, you figure out your like hetero roles. Like one of you is cooking. One of you is being annoying and working too much.
I'm not even really gay. I've just recently like, it's like, I am gay, but I live basically a heteronormative lifestyle. I'm me looking like me, and I date femme. And so she's,
I have
girl.
To say, when people talk about butch and femme, I understand that there's a history there. I'm not an idiot. I understand that it's like a history I'm not part of lesbian culture, whatever. But the way some people talk about butch and femme, I'm like, you realize you're just literally replacing the words man and woman.
Yes, we are. Except the difference is we're both women. Like we're, you know, butch or butch. But really, I agree with you. I don't even, really the only gay thing about me is that I'm gay. But other than that, I'm not even gay. Like, this is how I feel. Like, other than that, I live a pretty, exactly like you said, some lesbians get offended. Who wears the pants? I'm like, bitch, I wear the pants. Yes, I'm the boy. I'm the boy. I'm the man in the relationship. Is that what you want to hear? Because I'm fine to tell you. Like,
well, it's
I have
so funny
no
that then that's considered, you know, heteronormative. But in fact, for you as a woman to say you're a man, that's actually so. It's like that is not conforming to gender roles. Exactly. You're literally like, yeah, I'm a man, but I'm a woman. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like. Yeah, it's just we go so far around, we're back where we started.
Literally, yes.
Jerry Seinfeld,
no, there's no point in when I have you read I read The Argonauts by Maggie Nelson, where she's just like grappling with the fact that despite being queer and despite all of this, she's like raising a heteronormative family, and she just cannot wrap her mind around it. She's like, I saw a photo of me and my husband, and we're both queer, and he's trans, and all this stuff, and I was so disgusted to look and see that, oh my god, we literally just look like a straight couple. And it's like, yeah, just embrace it.
Yeah, I don't, it's like at my show, and you're like, I joke, like, everybody's queer now, everybody's you know, there's nobody left not queer anymore, you know? And I asked in my audience, I go, is anybody straight here? And somebody raises this. I said, no, raise your hand. You're perfect just the way you are. Like, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, we've gone so far that now my country, I'm like, you are valid.
Yeah.
This is okay for you to like what you like. And they got to hear it from me. They got to hear it from me.
It's so jarring now to truly lay your eyes on someone who just is straight in like a 90s way. Like, to truly look at a woman who is wearing ballet flats, kind of like a skinny pant, and like a Longchamp bag that's like a matte coat.
Wow.
Like, well, good for you.
Yeah, really.
And watching Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 and laughing, living it up, having a blast.
Yeah, with her, you know, I always on a plane, whatever the cost of alcohol is on a plane, I get it, because what if it's your last drink? I don't understand people who, it is worth every last dollar to me when you're on a plane. I'm like, $12 beer? I'm like, I'll take two. Like, literally, I'm like, this could be it. I don't understand. Like, that's the one place not to be frugal. And coming from me, believe me, this is my financial tip. If you're on a plane, get the cheese plate, get the wrap, get the thing. Spend $100 on the flight. That meal is, and it's a shit meal, but it could be the last.
This is Robbie's financial corner.
Yes. This is my one weirdest splurge is on the plane. Because there's no.
I've never heard that before.
No, that is insane.
People go on a plane, it's going to be like so expensive. I'm like, yeah. And it could. What are you doing with the money? This shit.
Well, Robbie, what? You're going to spend your life savings by the time you land. You got to.
No, you can't. Listen, Captain.
Robbie's in deep debt because she keeps spending $500 on every flight.
I also spend nowhere else but the flight. You have to pick. You have to pick what you're doing.
Robbie, money spent on the flight still counts. It's not its own currency.
You have got to, like, it could be, like, you've got to live for whatever remainder time you have to live. These planes, they're not replacing. You see these planes, we're on old yellowing planes. I'm like, this has got to be state of the art. Like, when you go to rent a car is probably brand new. Like the cars are basically new. They're all 2020 models. You get onto a plane from 1918. I'm like, if there's anything I want to be brand new, it's the fucking planes. It's like crazy. Yeah. We're taking risk.
Truly.
Risk. We have no reason being up there. It's not natural. Okay. And then you're going to tell me you're not going to splurge $7 on a wrap? I don't even understand. I see people sitting there. I see even, you know, people like we're not, you know, if you can afford the plane, it's like I see people sitting there in their maze belt going, how much is that? Shut up.
Say, Robbie, it is so fitting that we are ending on plane humor. Talk about coming around full circle. You have analyzed every possible element of society and culture, and we are coming back to literally like Ellen level plane humor.
That's what we do. We're comedians.
This is also our most straight episode by far.
We really did talk about straight culture, which rarely happens.
We really did.
I have to say, Robbie, you really kept us in check.
Yeah.
I think it's time for our final segment.
Let's do it.
All right. So Robbie, this is really one of our straighter things, is that we do this final segment called Shoutouts, where we kind of, as a tribute to the radio shout out, the kind of TRL shout out, you know, people like shouting out people, you know, their fam back home. We each give a shout out to something that we feel deserves some love this week. And I actually have one, Sam. I can go first.
Oh, great. Please do.
What up, listeners? I want to give a quick shout out to the 30 plus antique furniture accounts I recently followed on Instagram. I just moved into a new place and it is very unfurnished, but I want to not buy from IKEA and all the cheap places. So then I thought, where do I find things that have character? And someone recommended and said, you know, you should follow an account on Instagram. Cut to 2 weeks later, my house is no more furnished and I'm following upwards of 45 Instagram accounts looking at furniture all day, completely paralyzed, not making any offers on anything, obsessed with finding a deal and not living any better than I was living before. At this point, why not just order something from IKEA? But let me tell you something, I'm going to keep doing this for the foreseeable future. I'm never going to get furniture, but I'm going to be so well versed in kind of 60s through 80s furniture trends in America and Europe, especially Denmark, based on some of these accounts. Woo. That is my shout out.
Woo. You know what? I want to piggyback off that. I don't know if I have my own shout out, but I'll tell you.
You should. Yes, you do. You do.
Something that people don't give me credit for, and lesbians enough credit, is I'm bringing fashion to the lesbian world.
You are very fashionable.
In a taste sense. And what I mean by that is I also, by the way, you can call into Dyke Vice and I will give you furniture help. I happen to be great with furniture design.
Interior design.
It's the gayest thing about me is that I'm more gay man-like than probably dyke in the way that my fashion works and the way that my taste works, particularly for interior design. I just got this 80s piece myself of a glass table and the four chairs. Looks phenomenal in the space. I'm happy to share a picture with your listeners. So shout out based on that to, this is my tip to you also in my shout out, Craigslist. We do not discount Craigslist. Their website has not been, they need help, okay? They need somebody in the Silicon Valley, what it is. They are not up to speed. Do not let the website or lack thereof fool you. There are still great finds on Craigslist, then Facebook Marketplace.
That's what I've heard.
Fine, great find. Send me a link. You guys need help. Should I get this table, this table? I will let you know if you've gone too down the rabbit hole that now you fucked yourself into this very specific look that you'll like for a year. But I can tell you timeless, but also eye-catchy stuff that you should get. So, George, hit me up with a couple links. I'll tell you if it's a yes or a no.
Okay.
I'm trying to just change this to lesbians. It's like Ellen's flipping houses and doing all this, and we see what she's doing. But Ellen is revealed as a fraud to some extent. I'm going to have the reversed Ellen thing, where I seem aggressive and angry when I'm talking to you, when I'm on camera. But in fact, behind closed doors, when you hear people working with me and people friends with me, I happen to be very kind and generous and benevolent as a person. And this, so I'm going to have the reverse Ellen cancel. Where you're going to find out I'm actually much nicer than I seem to appear.
I love that. That's a great way to approach it. Okay, I'll do my shout out.
All right.
What's up, listeners? I just want to give a quick shout out to all of my gay male friends that do not have sex with each other. Each and every one of you are so beautiful and chaste, and that is so important to maintain healthy friendships. I know we've all been in houses together. We've all been in underwear parties together. Heck, we've been in back rooms together, and never do our holes or wieners or mouths touch. We are celibate with each other, and we have sex with strangers exclusively and our partners and not each other. And that is so powerful. Love you all, my gay male friends. Bye.
Wow. God, what a range. Wow. Furniture, well, Craigslist, gay sex. Honestly, not that big of a range.
No, actually, they're one-to-one.
Okay.
One-to-one.
Well, Robbie, this has really been incredible. Thank you so much for coming on the pod today.
Oh my God, thanks for having me. And yeah, I'll leave this and go think somewhere else now. Appreciate you guys. Follow me on everything. I don't know if you plug me now. Robbie Hoffman on Instagram. We're
there
doing
you go.
The road to 10K. It's ridiculous.
Plug yourself.
And
cool. Wait, you're doing the road to 10K?
Yeah, trying to get 10K followers. It's the least you guys could do for me.
I thought you were trying to run a 10K.
No, we do 10K follow. No, I don't do any type of exercise. That is also, I'll leave that to the gay men. You can follow me on Twitter. I am Robbie Hoffman. Thanks, guys, for having me. So
thank you, Robbie.
Thank you, Robbie.